And now as we hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. And as you are seated, will you help me thank the band this evening? I want to thank you guys so much. Thank you, Congo, for putting all this together. This has been a blessing to me. I hope it has been a blessing to you. I want to tell you a story. Melissa and I have two children, Anna, who's 5, and Elijah, who's 2. And what we found with Elijah, I know some parents experience this differently, but what we found with Elijah is that just about everything with Elijah is a little bit easier. Potty training was a little bit easier. Sleep training was a little bit easier. Everything seemed to be a little bit easier until recently. You see, Elijah has been sleeping really well, but then all of a sudden, since he's turned 2, it's like a switch has been flipped. And now, whenever we lay him down to go to sleep at night, he says the same thing over and over, and it breaks my heart every time. He says, "I don't want to be alone." Oh, man, it just breaks your heart, you know? And we're there, and we say, you know, you're not alone. You're not alone. You know, everybody's here. This house is filled. You're not alone. But all he sees is an empty room with him in it. And he says, "I don't want to be alone." And I thought that describes a lot of us. There's something about the holidays that makes us feel alone. There's something about the holidays that kind of draws this loneliness out of us. You know, maybe you've experienced a loss in your life. Maybe you've had a family member who's passed away, and you know how the closer and closer that holiday gets, that loneliness seems to be drawn out of you, right? The absence of that family member, the traditions that you had, all these things built around this person are now no longer valid, and this holiday seems to be filled with loneliness, even when you're surrounded by people. Or maybe you've experienced a separation. Maybe you've experienced a divorce. Or maybe you've experienced estrangement from family members that you were once close to. And you know how every time that holiday gets closer and closer, every day nearer to the Christmas season, makes you feel more and more alone. And we've been talking for several weeks about what this loneliness actually means in our lives, because we know that we are not the only ones experiencing this kind of loneliness. And we know that there are, in fact, many other people that are experiencing this as well. That, in fact, right here in our own state, we know that more than 600,000 Oklahomans, in our state alone, more than 600,000 Oklahomans have food insecurity, that they do not know where they will find their next meal. And they are struggling day in and out to find their next sustenance, that they might find something to strive for one more day. And we know that they are struggling with loneliness. We know that they say, I don't want to be alone. And we know that this is not only these people right here in our own state, but even around the world, that we've learned about the crisis of migrant children in our globe, that more than 300,000 children on our globe are unattended, that they are migrants, that they are wandering, that they are children who are hurting in our world today, and they simply don't want to be alone. And we also know that there are more than 25 million
refugees in our world, that have had to flee their homes because of war, because of famine, because of government oppression, that there are more than 25 million children of God on our globe that are experiencing loneliness. That are experiencing loneliness, that they simply don't want to be alone. And so what we've been challenged to do for the last several weeks, we've been encouraging you that as a community of faith, that we would try something, that we would do something so that the world might not feel so alone, that those people who need the love of God in their lives might experience it. We've been challenged to take a look at what we've been spending on ourselves. Right, we know that Christmas season can kind of be this self-centered season where we spend money on ourselves and we say all those things that we would never buy in our right minds, now we will buy them for some reason that we will do this. And so what we've been challenged to do is take a look at what we are spending this Christmas. What we are spending this Christmas, and to take a look at that and then consider giving one more dollar to this offering tonight. Give one more dollar to this offering tonight to honor Jesus on his birthday. That we think that's appropriate because 100% of this offering, unlike other nights that we worship, 100% of this offering tonight will be given to mission. We'll be given to mission. We'll go outside these doors. It won't pay the light bill. It won't pay salaries. It won't do any of that. It's actually going to go to those people who are experiencing loneliness, who are afraid tonight because they don't know where their home is. They don't know where their food will come from. 100% of the money that you give tonight will go and do that very thing because there are people here who are lonely. And there are people out there who are lonely, and our job is to make this world feel a little less lonely. But there's even better news than that. And I hope you will consider that. I hope, you know, even if you're a guest, that you will consider giving to this mission offering because it will do that very thing. And I think that's good news. I think that's a good thing that we can do and that we here can help people not feel so alone. But there's even better news. A couple of nights ago, while we were getting ready to put Elijah to bed, I had an idea. You see, Elijah and Anna, they share a Jack and Jill bathroom. And if you open one door of the bathroom, you can actually see the other door. And so if you open the other door, you can actually see straight through into the other room. And so I told Elijah, before he was going to bed, I told him that, and I said, Elijah, I've got an idea. You're not alone, and I've got a way to show you. You're not alone, and so we're going to open both doors into your bathroom. We're going to open both doors in your bathroom, and so you can wake up, and if you feel alone, you can look into that bathroom, and you can see right into sister's room, and you can know that you're not alone. Now, you can't see Anna from his room. Her bed is against the wall. All you can see is this bathroom, and I'd love to tell you that you know, this bathroom is immaculately clean, but it's not, right? Like, we know these kinds of, it's the children's bathroom, you know, and so, like, there are just things in there that I don't even want to think about, you know? Like, it's this kind of, it's the kid's bathroom. It's dirty, and it's gross, but it's the kid's bathroom, but when Elijah looks at it, he doesn't see a bathroom. He sees a reminder that he's not alone. When God chose to come into this world, when God chose to come into this world, he had an unlimited number of ways to do that. And he chose to come in the most fragile form possible. And not only that, he chose to not only come in the form of a child, but to come in the form of a child whose parents couldn't find room anywhere. And so that when the child was born, when God came into this world as a child, he was wrapped, Scripture says, in bands of cloth and placed into a manger, a feeding trough. This gross, disgusting thing. But that when God came into this world, he completely changed it forever. That when we see this manger, When we see this cross, we are reminded that we are not alone. That no matter where we find ourselves this Christmas season, maybe we're looking forward to spend time with family. Maybe we're not. But whatever we're doing, wherever we are, whatever we're experiencing in those moments, may we look at this manger. And may we remember that we are never alone. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, I ask that you would send down your Holy Spirit upon us now. God, that we would experience you in a new and profound way this evening. God, that in this very moment we would begin to experience you and feel you. God, that we would know that you came into this world, Lord, that you did something new. And we pray that you would do something new in our lives tonight. God, that you would heal relationships and families. That you would break our hearts of stone, Lord, that you would do something in our lives that would make us believe in a miracle, that you could even come to this world, that God could take on flesh. We thank you that you've done it. And we thank you that you've come in the form of Jesus Christ. Who, when the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? Even when we can't find the words, how do we do that thing? He said to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.